ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Okay,
so we're reading from text 7. Om namo bhagavate mahapurushaya mahanubhavaya mahavibhuti pataye saha mahavibhuti bhir bhalim upaharamiti anehara ahara mantrena vishnur avahang argya pado pasparsana snana vasa upavita Vibhushana Ganda Pushpa Dupa Dipo Daharadhya Upacharan Shushma Hito Paharet. Translation. My Lord Vishnu, full in six opulences, you are the best of all enjoyers and the most powerful. O husband of Mother Lakshmi, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are accompanied by many associates such as Vrikshalakshena. I offer all the paraphernalia for worshipping you. One should chant this mantra every day with great attention while worshipping Lord Vishnu with all paraphernalia, such as water for worship, washing his feet, hands, and mouth, and water for his bath. One must offer him various presentations for his worship, such as garments, a sacred thread, ornaments, scents, flowers, incense, and lamps. Purport. This mantra is very important. Anyone engaged in deity worship should chant this mantra as quoted above, beginning with Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya. Text 8. Havi Sesham Cha Juhuyad Anale Dva Dasa Huti Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Svaheti. Sukadev Goswami continued, after worshipping the Lord with all the paraphernalia mentioned above, one should chant the following mantra while offering 12 oblations of ghee unto the sacred fire. Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Swaha. Okay, so text 9. Shriyam
Vishnum
Cha Varadha Ashisham Prabhavav Ubhau Bhaktya Sampujayen Nityam Yadikchet Sarva Sampada Shriyam Vishnum Cha Varadha Ashisham Prabhavav Ubhau Bhaktya Sampujayen Nityam Yadichet Sarva Sampada Shriyam Vishnum Cha Varadha Ashisham Prabhavav Ubhau Bhaktya Sampujayen Nityam Yadichet Sarva Sampada Shriyam Vishnum Chavaradav Ashisham Prabhavav Ubhau Bhaktya Sampujayen Nityam Yadichet Sarva Sampadaha
Ashisham Prabhavah Ubhau
Bhaktya Sampujayen Nityam
Priyam Vishnum Chabarada,
Priyam Vishnum Chabarada,
Ashisham Prabhavahubhav,
Ashisham Prabhavahubhav,
Bhaktya Sampujayan Mityam,
Bhaktya Sampujayan Mityam,
Yadi Chet Sarva Sampadaha,
Yadi Chet Sarva Sampadaha,
Priyam Vishnum Chabarada,
Priyam Vishnum Chabarada,
Ashisham
Prabhavahubhav,
Goddess of Fortune,
Vishnum,
Lord Vishnu,
Cha,
and
Varadao,
the bestower of benedictions,
Ashisham,
of blessings,
Prabhavau,
the sources,
Ubhau,
both,
Bhaktya,
with devotion,
Sampujayet,
should worship,
Nityam,
daily,
Yadi,
if,
Ichet,
desires,
Sarva,
all,
Sampada,
opulences.
Translation.
If one desires all opulences, his duty is to daily worship Lord Vishnu with his wife, Lakshmi. With great devotion, one should worship him according to the above-mentioned process. Lord Vishnu and the Goddess of Fortune are an extremely powerful combination. They are the bestowers of all benedictions and the sources of all good fortune. Therefore, the duty of everyone is to worship Lakshmi Narayana. Purport. Lakshmi Narayana, Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi, are always situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshter junatishtati. However, because non-devotees do not realize that Lord Vishnu stays with his eternal consort Lakshmi within the hearts of all living entities, they are not endowed with the opulence of Lord Vishnu. And scrupulous men sometimes address a poor man as Daridra Narayana, or poor Narayana. This is most unscientific. Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi are always situated in everyone's heart, but this does not mean that everyone is Narayana, especially those in poverty. This is a most abominable term to use in connection with Narayana. Narayana never becomes poor, and therefore he can never be called Daridra Narayana. Narayana is certainly situated in everyone's heart, but he is neither poor nor rich. Only unscrupulous persons who do not know the opulence of Narayana try to afflict him with poverty. So these are the details now of the Pumsavana ritualistic ceremony. Sukadeva Goswami wanted to know what kind of service was being rendered by Diti to Lord Vishnu. So then he asked the question, and now we are getting this answer. So here now he's given this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya. So Prabhupada mentions this is important, so it should be used in the deity worship. And then with all these other aspects are being offered. So here in the worship of the Lord, we see here and in these next verses that then the worship of Lakshmi and Narayana is performed together. This is very important. Otherwise, many worship the Lord, but then without his opulences. If we worship the Lord alone, then without opulences, what is the meaning? Then the opulences, then we see, are the knowledge, are the pastimes, all these things. If we're just worshiping the Lord as the Supreme, then basically we're only recognizing the Sat aspect of the Lord. And even that we're not fully understanding, because even that's an opulence. Even that is Lakshmi. But here, what they know of Lakshmi is money, knowledge, and all these other aspects, activities, that is not being recognized. So to worship the Lord on his own, then this will not actually be worship of the Lord. This is not, you can't call this worship of the Lord. The Lord has to be worshipped with his opulences. Then that is worship. And Lakshmi, to try to get Lakshmi on her own, is also just as unscrupulous. Because Lakshmi is coming from Narayana. She belongs to Narayana. So if we try to get Lakshmi without Narayana, then there's no real benefit. One is just like Ravana. He tried to get Lakshmi without Narayana. And so he had a lot of problem. He lost everything. Because Lakshmi belongs to Narayana. So because of this, then he lost everything. So this combination here is always very perfect. This combination of worshipping the Lord and his energies together, then this is very nice. And in this verse, we see that it's mentioned that he's being worshipped along with his associates, such as Visvakshena. So in the Pancharatrik system of worship, then for those who are worshipping in Vaikuntha, Visvakshena is the leader of the devotees. It means we can serve the Lord, so we serve under the devotees. So then Visvakshena is that devotee which all the residents of Vaikuntha worship under. He organizes everything. So one's approach into the pastimes of the Lord for those who worship in Vaikuntha is through Visvakshena. Without him, one does not get into the Lord's pastimes. So Visvakshena and then his representative, who connects us to Visvakshena. So then here we have then the complete aspect. You have the Lord, you have his internal potency, and then you have the spiritual master, the devotees. So when all these three are together, then you actually have worship of the Lord. Otherwise, it's not worship of the Lord. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that when we don't recognize all these aspects of the devotional aspect of the Lord, the internal potency, the external potency, and that natural combination, then we are not actually devotees of the Lord. Then we're not properly situated. When you see one aspect without the other, this is not proper. Because the Lord is seeing everything according to relationship, according to the rasa. And if we try to see the Lord without this, then we're not understanding. We're not understanding the Lord. The Lord is rasa. He is rasa. He's made of rasa. So everything coming from him also has rasa. So now if we don't recognize this, then we don't recognize the Lord. So therefore those who try to approach the Lord without recognizing this point, then they do not actually worship the Lord. They do not please the Lord. So here then this is being given, that it's everyone's duty to worship Lakshmi Narayana. So now here the point is specifically made that the Lord, Lakshmi Narayana, are within the heart. So generally we think of Narayana or Kiridakshaya Vishnu being within the heart. But Kiridakshaya Vishnu will not be separate from Lakshmi. She is always with him. So whether we see her manifest or not, he is always there with him. The Sri Vatsa, then is always Lakshmi is there on his chest, manifest. So the both of them are within the heart. And the both of them within the heart, then this is our worshipable deity. They go with us wherever we go. And they take care of us. So when we recognize this, then one is all opulent. Because the Lord is there. If the Lord is there, he has all opulence. We are then with Lakshmi Narayana, we have all opulence. But if we try to separately get these two, then we will have neither opulence nor any fortune. We will not have. So here the point is, somebody has made the ideas that we have to respect everybody. Everything is coming from Narayan, so we also have to respect the poor person, the Daridra Narayan, the fallen, the downtrodden, the person, the, how you say, or in modern terms, the victim. Right? The victim must be respected as God. So here he's pointing out that God is never poor. God is not, he's never the victim. He's never poor. Like that. So everything is coming from God, but God himself is not poor. We are poor, why? Because we're not recognizing Lakshmi Narayan. Here it said, if one recognizes, then all opulence is there. But because non-devotees do not realize that Lord Vishnu stays with his eternal consort, Lakshmi, within the hearts of all living entities, they are not endowed with the opulence of Lord Vishnu. So then, when we recognize that, then all opulence is there. Like that, so many opulences are there. Generally, nowadays, we think more of wealth. But then the wealth, fame, power, renunciation, beauty, knowledge, these are all various aspects of wealth that are there, that are all coming from the Lord, that are all manifestations of Lakshmi. So the devotee, we see the devotees have these things. They have detachment from the material world. They have so much knowledge about actual knowledge, what is actually going on. Then they have, you know, so many, Krishna is taking care, everybody's being taken care of in some way or another. So it is all happening very nicely because they recognize. But the non-devotee, because he doesn't recognize, then therefore they may end up poor. We don't recognize, we end up poor. Because whatever money we do get, one is we don't recognize, we won't perform pious activities or serve the Lord, so that opulence is there. If we do get opulence because we don't recognize the Lord, we will lose it. So then, for this, then the poor person is someone who simply lost it because they didn't know how to behave with it, how to deal with it. They weren't recognizing the Lord. And because of this, then they become poor. So we can't blame the living entity's lack of recognizing the Lord in the heart with Lakshmi and respecting and worshipping, that therefore now Narayan has come in this poor form and they are very, very respectable and worshipable. No, in the Vedic culture, then persons who are more unfortunate, they are helped by others who are more fortunate. That is the purpose of charity and other things. But they are not in an overbalanced way giving undue, credit or attention. Because someone who is poor like this is because they cannot handle opulences. The living entity does not come into the material energy poor. Prabhupada mentions they come in as Lord Brahma. So he is quite opulent. You know, he is quite well-to-do, well-positioned. He is the most knowledgeable. You know, he has the most famous, like this. He is, great detached. Oh, so many things are there. He has so many opulences. So, but because of not knowing how to worship the Lord, then he has fallen from this position. And then slowly, slowly down to the point where he's just the poor man on the street, the beggar. Or worse. So this position is not because they can handle so much opulence. So respect all these are opulences. So if they're given too much opulence, it will not improve their condition. It will worsen their condition. So only if we give them Krishna consciousness, only if we give them that, then they can become qualified. And because they are Krishna conscious, automatically they're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, then all opulence is there. But to try to improve them separately from giving them Krishna consciousness will not benefit them much. Because Prabhupada says, the beggar is proud of their penny. So whether they're proud of their penny or proud of their, billion-dollar empire, it doesn't matter. They're both proud. They're both going to have difficulty. So one has to recognize Lakshmi Narayan. One has to worship Lakshmi Narayan. Then one becomes opulent. Then one is qualified for opulence because then one is on the transcendental platform. And then the transcendental platform, then all opulence can be there. So one can move in the same, position as the Lord. Same same realm as the Lord. Like the devotees who are with the Lord are within the spiritual realm, so all opulence is there. So they're able to move in that without being disturbed. But the non-devotees, they can't move in the realm of opulence without being disturbed. They can become proud, they become so many things. So therefore, we have to guard against this. Be very careful to recognize Krishna with Lakshmi and always see these together. Never try to see them different. We cannot endeavor for any kind of opulence without seeing both of them together. Otherwise, then it will be difficult for us. Okay. Is there any questions on this? Yes. Here. Then we'll come to you.
We see so many times that people become, as you say, proud of their opulence, and this leads to them fall down, actually. Fall. So how does a devotee manage this kind of situation? Although he's chanting and he wants to be humble and so forth, the opulence is there naturally as a result of his worshipping Lakshmi Narayan.
Yeah.
And then it's extremely difficult for him to control one or many aspects of his senses.
Mm.
Then he falls down, then there's a commotion and a difficulty, and then eventually, hopefully, a resurrection or rebuilding of his status. But how can we guard against this, circular motion of becoming proud, falling down? Mm. It seems that it's inevitable. As soon as someone becomes proud, he's making some offense on some level. Very serious or minor, but even the minor offenses, they disturb the tranquility and the progress and the emotional attitude. So how do we combat this pride?
This is a very, very essential point in devotional service. Therefore, the Lord Chaitanya mentions the chanting of the holy name along with that verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodapi Sahishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtanya Sadahari. That if this verse is studied and we try to apply it in the life like that, then it becomes very, very good. Means we see that Lord Shiva previously was telling Parvati that that Chitraketu, then he had the knowledge and the realization how to apply it, and that was not lost. And he was showing how actually he had defeated her because he didn't become disturbed. Because here, see, many times we means just due to its material conditioning in general. And the modern kind of like consumer conditioning and specific, that opulence basically means position and wealth. But also beauty. These things are there, power. But renunciation is also not seen, or knowledge is not seen as great. It means it's always considered benefit. But it's not seen also as very important. So one has to see all these six together as opulence, and that they will come. And then one has to be able to deal in the world and see that what is happening to oneself, that's ordained by the Lord, and one doesn't become caught up in the dualities of the material world. Because the material world, everything is bad. You know, it's just like for the pig. They distinguish between varieties of stool, what is better quality, what is lesser quality. But it's all stool. So those who have come from the spiritual realm, for them the whole material world is terrible. What any of the material opulences, whether it be material knowledge or renunciation or wealth, power, fame, beauty, they find all these to be terrible. But for the world to kind of to create the distinction between material and spiritual, you have to be able to distinguish. So for most living entities, they, since they're conditioned to dealing with the externals of the material nature, the first thing that they can do is tell the difference between the qualities of the material nature itself. Therefore, Krishna has created good and bad in the world. So we can understand what is good and bad, so eventually we can understand what's material, what's spiritual. But in the meantime, it keeps the materialists very busy because they get very absorbed in all good, bad, and otherwise. So then, for the devotee, then he starts seeing things in relationship to the Lord. And because of this, then when difficulties come up, they don't take it otherwise. So we see Chitraketu, though he did not deserve to be cursed, it was unjust that Lord Shiva understood what he was saying. The sages understood what Chitraketu was saying. Chitraketu and Lord Shiva had an understanding between themselves that they were basically on the same platform of transcendence, and they were joking with each other. But Parvati did not understand, and she unduly cursed him, which then Shiva pointed out, that actually in here she showed her power, but he showed more power because he just accepted it and didn't care. He wasn't disturbed by the material energy, because power has a taste. Means if someone is upset, one likes to show power, but then one wants to see a reaction. If one does something and the other person doesn't care, like that, you show your power, they don't become afraid, or they don't also fight, then there's no taste in showing the power. So here she showed her power to curse him, but he showed more power by not caring. Because it was material, so whether he was in a human body, a demigod body, or a sura body, it didn't matter to him. He was just going to remember the Lord in whatever the condition. So therefore, he showed more. His detachment from the material energy, his opulence was greater. So therefore, then he showed greater opulence. Just like we see Lord Shiva. He's in control of the material energy, but he shows great opulence of detachment. And in this way, he is actually able to control the material nature. So Chitraketu had the same. Though, the joke was just the opposite. The joke is Chitraketu is flying around in an airplane full of Vidyaharinis. And Shiva's sitting there with his, you know, wife on his lap in front of the sages. And they're both joking with each other how here, we're the, very detached persons, you know, on a liberated platform. But we're sitting around with all these women. So they were kind of having some fun at this joke. You know, she didn't understand this. She misunderstood. So because he didn't take it, that is his opulence, that is his power. And this is what gets us out of the material world. If he had said, this is wrong, this is unjust, and all this, and then you fight for all these things based on material good and bad, then one ends up staying in the material world to receive the benefits of justice, because just it takes some time. It's taken time to create the injustice. It also takes time to get the justice. And it becomes very complicated, because the living entity generally always sees it from their own side, is that when you do adjust things so it is seemingly just, the person who was on the other side now will think, he'll think it's unjust, and then he'll fight for justice. And this way it goes on. You look at any of the history of any countries or any relationships where they have an inimical, it just goes back, forth, back, forth, back, forth, like this. So then there's no end. So this is one of the things, is that the devotee becomes prideless. But that is very important, that they don't think that they themselves are special. This opulence has come from the Lord. So whatever it may be, whether it's wealth, whether it's position, fame, beauty, power, renunciation, whatever has come, they understand it's the Lord's opulence, because the Lord is there, Lakshmi is there. And one has to be in the fire to work in the fire. Right? One has to be fire to move with fire. Then it becomes the same. So the living entity has to be in fire, or in the internal potency, or in, like that, in opulence, to move with the Lord, who is the Lord of opulence. So then, if we want to move on the transcendental platform, these opulences and all that are naturally, automatically there. But the devotee has to understand they're not his. They don't belong to us. We use them for the service needed, required. But we don't take beyond what is necessary for one's position, that is there. And then the balance will be engaged, you know, very nicely according to one's abilities in the Lord's service. So therefore, a devotee can have unlimited opulence. That's not the problem. It's how they see the opulence as the Lord's or theirs, and how they engage in the Lord's service. Therefore, you may have someone with so much opulence, or someone with no opulence. Like Raghunath Das, no opulence in the way of material wealth, though in renunciation was very great. Or someone like Pundarik Vidyanidhi had so much opulence, like that. Or Raghunath Das before had huge opulence that he used for the Chiradoya Utsav. He played for that whole thing. He was buying everybody, all the shops, everything, and thousands, unlimited people were coming. And he was using all his opulence in that way. So it didn't matter. Like that. He has the opulence, doesn't have the opulence. It's all used in the Lord's service because he saw it as the Lord's. Like that. Then it becomes very nice. So one has to understand this fact that when one does worship the Lord, opulence will come. Like that. Even if one tries to detach oneself from everything, one comes. Like Prabhupada mentioned, he gave up everything. And then he ends up with, you know, a palace in every city in the world, major city of the world. But they were his to use, but he didn't consider they were his. That's the difference. Is they were there, and everyone wants him to use it. He's using it for Krishna, but he doesn't consider it's his. It's Krishna's. It's Krishna's temple, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's money. And it's his service to direct it and like this. So then it becomes. But if we start thinking it is ours, or it is by our own abilities, or our own opulences that it's there, then we'll have difficulty, we'll become caught up by it, and then we'll have trouble. Yes?
Krishna gives us his opulences, why doesn't he at the same time, the material opulence is easy to attain, so why doesn't he give us his spiritual potency to understand this factor, that this is actually Krishna's and it's to be used in service? Why do we constantly fall down and think this is mine?
Yeah. Bhakti comes from bhakti, so we have to want it. That's the thing. In the material world, we've always wanted, one is we've always wanted opulence, so that desires are always there. That we don't have to separately, we don't need to practice any sadhana for that. That's well practiced. You know, every birth has been well practiced like that. But the understanding whose it is, that's the practice. So he gives us the opportunity, but we have to make the choice. That's the thing, is that he's very kind. He's come along with us in the heart with Lakshmi, and he goes everywhere we go. And he gives us the opportunity. Whatever we want, he tries to arrange according to our what we deserve. You know, if it's what we've done today, then that sets our precedent for what tomorrow we can get or not get, and then how those desires tomorrow can be fulfilled. So he gives that, the knowledge is there, everything is there to do it. It's just a matter of if we recognize. That's why it's very important to study and to associate with devotees and follow the whole process, because then we hear about it, we learn about it. You know, otherwise so many times is, oh yeah, we've heard about it, be detached, this, that. But that's the knowledge. But more important than knowledge is the realization, which means we practically apply it. So that comes by seeing examples, like here in the Bhagavatam and that. So we have to associate with those in the Bhagavatam. We have to associate with the devotees who are practicing what is going on in the Bhagavatam. And then we also try to help others understand this. Then it becomes good. So we have to recognize that it's there. And then when we want it, it will come. But it takes time. It doesn't happen. Just like we may want something, it doesn't necessarily happen immediately. So in the same way as we want this, it will come. It'll come very naturally. You know? But the first stage generally is things are taken away. Second stage is then things are given. So when things are given and one doesn't fall, then one knows one's at the second stage. You know, if one is getting opulence, but one is becoming proud, then one knows he's just before the first stage. If we're getting opulence and we're becoming proud, then we can be assured of the Lord's mercy in the form of he'll take it all away. Like that. That's just around the corner. But once that's done and one becomes prideless, then one can have unlimited opulence and not be disturbed by it. One isn't bothered. So if one is bothered, means there's still the anartas are still there, in either the gross or the subtle form. If the gross is not there, then one has to see the subtle form is there. You know, so advanced devotional service starts when the gross elements are removed and the opulence we find, when it becomes steady in devotional service, then opulence comes. So much opulence comes. But if one is not careful, then the subtle desires may catch one. And then if one can get over the subtle desires, then one comes to that liberated platform. Then there's no disturbance from any platform. It all becomes very easy. So it's just understanding these stages. In the beginning, we may have not so much, or we have according to our karma. By performing devotional service, so much comes. Then, if we're attached to that, then it may be taken away to develop our detachment. If we can develop at the same time, then we may not lose like that. Like we see here is that in this Pumsavana, is that the worship is approaching the Lord, worshiping the Lord, but saying, I'm not asking for anything. Like that. So that conscious understanding that I'm serving the Lord, but not wanting something. But naturally, if the Lord is there, opulence will be there. Whatever opulence is there, I must use in Krishna's service. I don't necessarily separately endeavor. The Vedic system is, I don't separately endeavor for opulence. I perform my duty. And that, because that duty is being offered to the Lord, is for pleasing the Lord, then that's worship of the Lord. When the Lord is worshipped, Lakshmi is there, so opulence comes. So that's the finer understanding of it. And then a lower understanding is, I want opulence, so therefore I go through the mechanics of it, and I perform the particular pious duties that get, and because it's pious, therefore it gets a good result, like that. Does that make any more sense? Or?
It's a problem with the resolve of the individual to.
That's the thing.
Embrace humility.
That's the thing. The whole process is very individual. Is that everybody comes together, but they're individuals. It's a very unique thing in the Vaishnava philosophy, you know, or in the Vedic culture in general, but specifically the Vaishnava philosophy, that actually is that you have a group of individuals who are individually practicing their devotional service, but by coming together, then that helps. Because then they're able to assist each other in the development, and especially then they're able to assist others who are the preaching. Jiva Goswami defines a Goshti Anandi as a group of Bhajan Anandis who get together to preach. Someone is performing their own bhajan very seriously, but he understands that that's not enough. To please the Lord, to take the bhajan further, we have to please the Lord through preaching. So therefore the bhajan anandis come together to continue their bhajan, but to understand how to better preach. So it always comes, that's the difficulty in it. It always comes back to ourselves, that we ourselves have to take it seriously. Therefore, Prabhupada stresses so much the study of his books, the association of devotees, you know, the distribution of this knowledge, because all these things then give us more understanding, more realization on how to apply it. Then we can be aware of it. Because otherwise, devotees aren't necessarily aware. It's like, if you're aware of the process, then you understand if I become steady in devotional service, then opulence comes. So then one is on one's guard. Because the next stage after that is, it's either na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, or dhanam, janam, sundarim. Like that. That's what's going to happen. So we can see it practically going on. So no, if everyone understands this, no one's bewildered. It's just a matter of, here is someone who didn't either understand or wasn't able to practice nicely. So then it's not a matter of, well, how do advanced devotees fall? It's a matter of, how do we avoid the same trap that they fell into? It's not that if you take away the opulence that it won't happen, because you can become proud of anything. You can fall with this most minimal amount of opulence. Like that, there's a, how you say, depending upon that point, pauper is proud of his penny. So one penny, he's proud. Like that, you know. Generally, you'll find, you know, most people, one penny won't make them so proud. But everybody's got their limit. There's some point at which they can become proud. So then, the whole idea in the Vedic system is to understand the process. Then we know that if we become steady in devotional service, then we are going to be respected. People are going to notice. From that, then there's going to be facility in these. So then Dhanam Janam Sundarim is going to come. So now we either will think, yes, I am very qualified, I should be getting this, and then we'll get absorbed in this, and then go from subtle back into gross. Or we will understand that this is not ours, it's the Lord's. And then we will, to the best of our ability, engage it in Krishna's service. You know, or take the help of others to engage. Whatever it is, depends upon what is coming. And then one will cross that, na dhanam na janam na sun, and become fixed in mama janmani janmani shwari bhavatad bhakti rahaituki tvaya, the haituki bhakti. So one has to go beyond. So then the anartha nivriti is very solid. After the first stage means they have gotten rid of a lot of anarthas, otherwise the opulence wouldn't come. Because we see that when they fall from devotional service, they don't fall back into being very wealthy and powerful influence. They just fall back to, you know, whatever the mouse they were before. Like that. But, you know, it's like somebody comes wealthy and they may leave and they go back to that. You know? But if someone comes just regular, becomes very opulent, moves out of devotional service, goes back to not, then we understand that was devotional opulence. It was not material opulence. But they didn't know how to use it. So the problem is not taking it away. You know, it's just like a small child maybe making some trouble. And so you might take something away from them, but that's not the ultimate training. Like that. The real training is teach them how to use it. That's the real thing. So if someone can't be taught, then you take it away. But if they can be taught, then that's always the first preference, is how to use. Like Prabhupada showed, how to use so much opulence for the Lord's service. You know, we get criticized by others that we're so opulent. You know? But that's only because the Lord's being worshipped, Lakshmi is there. So all they're trying to say is, the Lord is poor. ISKCON's so opulent. Why? Because Lakshmi, the Lord is there, Lakshmi is there. How are you going to worship the Lord and there be no opulence? You know, it's just a matter of that Rupa Goswami was there, that temple was being built for him, right? Because of him and his deities. That temple took, I think, 80 years to build or something. So much wealth is there. I mean, you can imagine how much we build a place for, you know, so many years and how much it costs. So there, 80 years it's being built like that. And it's not just some simple work. Some very fine work is there. So how much opulence? So all that opulence has been given to him, but he was undisturbed by it. He still lived under his tree. Like that. But it makes the place. Govindaji becomes more known and famous and more people come like this. So it's there. It engaged Man Singh. So he's busy in devotional service. Like that. So one knows that these stages are coming. But that's the first stage of anartha, the main stage of the gross aspect of anartha nivriti, where we're dealing with the rough, nasty edges of it. But then we have to be careful of the fine, the subtle. That's why the devotee has to be very careful of he doesn't want sinful, but he doesn't want pious. He's not interested in losing everybody, he's not interested in gaining anything. His point is just whatever happens, happens. Otherwise, we get rid of the sinful desires, but we don't notice the pious desires. We get rid of, okay, sinful life. I give up sinful life, but I get attracted to pious life. So one has to be very, very careful of that. Otherwise, one will get caught like that. One gets caught. So that's the subtler aspect of the anartha nivriti. Then one gets attached to Krishna. And then one becomes freed from the material contamination. Like that, yes.
Sorry, I have a question. You spoke about justice sometimes being a long time coming, and people have to wait maybe lifetimes to get their justice in relation to some other person. So sometimes in the society, we're trying to get justice in this kind of society, and we find that we feel that the authorities or some entity is not just.
Mm.
Actually, fight
We have to be very careful because, see, this justice is on the platform of pranamoy, which is still a kind of selfishness. There's two kinds of selfishness. There's self-centered selfishness and self-extended selfishness. So that is known as anamoy pranamoy. So then when it's about ourself, generally we just take it that this is the way it is. You know, this has been ordained by providence due to my previous activities. Especially if we don't see any cause for it or any... It's not that we've done something, so therefore something's happening to us. Then it's like, that was Chitraketu's mood, is that I did nothing, so now this is coming, so it must be ordained by the Lord, which it was. The Lord wanted to take him back to Godhead very quickly. So then he just accepted it like that. And then due to that, then Shiva's pointing out this is the opulence of the devotees. They don't get caught up in the platform of pranamoy, this all this justice for themselves. But for others, then we see that here Shiva is pointing out to Parvati that her cursing was unjust. Or Vamanadeva points out to Sukracharya that his cursing Bali Maharaj was unjust. But we see that how they did it is very nice. Means the Shiva and Parvati are husband and wife. So he did not break the etiquette of how the husband speaks to the wife. And also they are there in public. Right? They're there with everybody else. So it was spoken according to etiquette. And then she understood. At the end then she felt ashamed and she covered her face with her cloth. And Sukracharya then, because he was the Acharya, and Vamanadeva is just taking the role of a young Vatu. That so Vatu is means someone who's just received Upanayana. They've just received the sacred thread. So they're qualified to perform the Vedic ceremonies, but they don't actually have the knowledge or anything to do it. They've just been initiated. You know, it's just like when you've been accepted into school. Now you're a student, but you don't know anything. Now you begin. Then once you know, you're called Vipra. Then you're respectable. But a Vatu is respected as a Brahmin, but he's not respected for his knowledge, just for being a Brahmin. So he was in that position. While Sukracharya is respected as a Vipra, as one who has knowledge. And he is also then an Acharya. It means of Brahmins, he is an Acharya. So of all the Brahmins there performing the sacrifice, the four main Brahmins and all their assistants, he was the head of them. He was the Acharya. So then Vamana dealt with him and just said, could you kindly explain what was his fault according to Shastra? And so then Sukracharya said, well, actually, according to Shastra, there is no fault. Like that, because he is worshipping the Lord, so everything is perfect. But if you're looking at it from the point of the fruit of Karmakanda, then surrendering to the Lord takes away everything before he gives everything. So according to fruit of result, therefore it was not a good path. And because I'm contaminated by that, I'm a fruit of Brahman, and I was training Bali as my student in that path, so therefore he deviated from my path, but he took the higher path, so actually he was blameless. Like that. So that's why it's said if one, at the end of a ceremony, remembers Vamanadeva, then the ceremony becomes perfect. Because in that ceremony, that's what he did. He made the ceremony perfect for Bali Maharaj by his questions and all that. So in this, the etiquette still has to be followed. And it needs to be that we're in a position that we actually can have influence. So if we're in a position where we can't have influence, we just accept. If we're in a position where we can have influence, you know, for others' benefit, like that, like Shiva is speaking on Chitraketu's behalf, or Vamana is speaking on Bali Maharaj's behalf, though they didn't care. Like that. Bali Maharaj just accepted and left. After he had left, only then Vamana made this point to Sukracharya. After Chitraketu has already offered his respects and left, then Shiva is saying this to Parvati. So it's not that, you know, they've already accepted it. But on their behalf, someone else is fine. But they still must maintain etiquette. That's very important. You can't break etiquette for pranamoy. Because etiquette's actually a higher level. Etiquette's actually dharma. It's manamoy. So we can't break etiquette for a lower principle. We can give up a lower for a higher. Like we may give up aspects of morality for higher principles of dharma. Like we may lie if it's going to save someone's life. You know, so everyone will agree with that. So then we can see that you can give up the higher for give up the lower for the higher, but not the other way around. So we can't break dharma or etiquette and how we're dealing and all that in the social for establishment of a lower principle of morality, justice, and all that, which are supporters or assistants to the dharma, like that. So we have to see that we do them together. Then it becomes nice. Otherwise, one person's misbehaved. So if another person misbehaves, it may correct one aspect, but the other person's misbehaved also, and that has to be correct. So it just goes on and on and on. It just snowballs. Does that make any sense? Like that. So if we're in a position to correct on someone else's behalf, that's quite very much in the culture. That's the meaning of the relationships, especially friendship or parental or teacher or, you know, like this. Something where you have either equal or senior to someone. It's natural if you have such a relationship or in a position that you try to help in that way. But for oneself, one always takes the path of just, you know, why bother? One tries to accept and like that and see what the Lord's plan is. Because many times we see when they accept, they get better. Bali Maharaj, you know, could have complained, I'm losing everything, how am I going to maintain my family, this, that, so many, but it didn't. He got more opulence than Indra. He had more than what? He took Indra's place. That's what he had. He had to give it up and give it back. Then in exchange for that, because it was done in devotion, he got more than what Indra had. So it's just a matter of Krishna seeing, you know, it's just Krishna seeing, we say we surrender, so he's saying, he's checking. He's just trying to find out, are we actually? You know? You know? It's like that. Does that make any sense? Okay. Your last point, you had some? You got it. Okay. This clock, we could go on all day. What time is it?
10 past 9.
Okay, so it's already past the time. So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Govinda famous.